The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an exciting message from our guest.
Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. Awesome time of worship this morning. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We're continuing to take our offerings in the back at the table or for however you give online. We appreciate everyone's faithfulness. This morning, we will be, we have a special speaker with us, of course, this morning, Tim, and he is going to be sharing with us in regards to High on Hope and the things that are happening there. We support them monthly, and we believe in the ministry. We believe in him. We believe in the things that he's doing, he and his family. We as a church are giving Tim and his family a love gift this morning directly for them. And then if anyone would like to give to High on Hope, you can either get an envelope and write on there that you are giving directly to High on Hope, or if it's cash, if you write a check, you can just make it out to Bethel, and then we'll make sure that High on Hope gets those funds. So if you'd like to do that, we're making that available as well. So praise God. There are so many great things going on. We're excited about what God continues to do here at Bethel and in our community, surrounding areas. God's on the move. You know, the darkness is pressing in. We recognize that. Okay, there's lots of darkness in this world. But we have light, and we are the light. We have the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we walk in the newness and the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear. We're not going to allow the fear of the enemy to come upon us. We're going to walk in supernatural power in the name of Jesus Christ. In these last days, I do believe we're living in last days. How long are the last days? Well, they've been 2,000 years so far. But that's okay. You know, God's timetable is not like ours. God's will and God's ways. But we are living in last days, and we can't expect the fulfillment of the scripture that these signs will follow them that believe in my name. Cast out devils and speak in new tongues and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. No deadly thing will hurt us. Hallelujah. That includes COVID. Amen. Glory be to God. What an awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. Well, brother, why don't you come on up? I guess I probably met you about, was it 5 years ago? Yeah, right. Yes, it is. And, of course, we had a concert here, and they were just starting the ministry at that time. And things have really developed since then.
A lot.
Yeah. Amen. Well, praise God. It's wonderful to have you here with us this morning. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Oh, there it is. Okay. There you are.
Thank you guys so much. It's really an honor to be here this morning. You know what? I was just thinking about this. You guys have supported our ministry since, before it was even High on Hope. You've actually supported. We were Dream Life with Eddie James Ministries. And then, you know, I felt like God had called us to establish something here in the area. And for 5 years, you guys are actually the longest supporter of our ministry. So thank you so much, because we would not be able to, like, literally you have supported us since the very beginning of it. And so thank you for that, because, you know, like, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without you guys, the body of Christ, kind of getting behind the mission, because it's a little, you know, unorthodox of a ministry. It's not, you know, real conventional. And so, you know, we are thankful to have people who believe in what God is doing. So I'm going to, you know, share some today with you guys about what's happening in the ministry, what's kind of developed over the years. We won't go, like, forever long into that part. And then I do believe that God has something in particular for you guys. So I'm just going to pray. So, Father, we just thank you for this time, God. We give you this time, and Holy Spirit, we just welcome you in to do whatever you would do in this place. So, God, we just remove ourselves completely, and we just thank you that you have a perfect plan for this time. God, we thank you that we can align our hearts and our minds with you during this time. Father, we just thank you that we have ears to hear you like never before. And God, we just thank you for all that you have planned ahead of this body of people. God, we thank you for the assignment and the mandate that you've put on them. And Father, we just thank you for the strength to see it through. And God, we just thank you for what you have been doing in this Mid-Ohio Valley, God, and what you continue to do. And Father, we just declare that every assignment that you have passed down to us, that we would see through to completion. And Father, we just thank you for stirring in the hearts of your people to raise up during this time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my name is Tim Kraft. I'm actually, if you can't tell by my accent, I'm not from here. I'm from Beckley originally, and I was a 12-year drug addict. And on March the 1st of 2014, which has been about 7 years ago now, God set me free from heroin addiction, from IV drug use. And, you know, it's crazy, because one thing I never make a mistake of is this. I realize that what I'm living right now is grace. Like, I shouldn't be alive. And so my heart constantly asks, you know, like, I ask myself this question constantly, and I realize that, like, if I am here because of grace, then that means that there's a purpose for me being here. So one thing I've never made a mistake of is, like, thinking that God didn't have a purpose, because I know that I should be dead. I know that I'm only alive and standing here because of his grace. So since the beginning, I've kind of been like, God, what is it that you want to do? What can we do? And so I went into Eddie James Ministries, and I was with Eddie for, probably close to 3.5 years, maybe 3 years around that. And then I still consider him to be my spiritual father even to this day. And then I felt like God told us to take a step out and start High on Hope Ministries for the Mid-Ohio Valley. And what God has done has been crazy. We've opened two treatment centers. We have one in Malta, Ohio, that's been open now. August will be 3 years since it's been open. And we have had, you know, hundreds of guys graduate. And it's just been so awesome to see God transform people's lives through those programs. And then, you know, like, I just am blown away by, you know, like, I think about, you know, West Virginia and Ohio being number one and number two in drug overdose. And then I think that if that's the case, then obviously God is looking for people to raise up and stand up and proclaim freedom and bring the solution to the problem. And so, you know, like, it's in our willingness to go wherever he sends us that we can find what he truly purposes us to do. And sometimes we just have to, like, stop and listen, and it all makes sense. Because never in a million years would I have dreamed that I would be living in my wife and I live in Little Hocking, and our ministry is based in Parkersburg, but our men's facility is in Malta. And something really cool is we're actually working on another facility to open up in Vincent very soon, and it'll be for women. And so, you know, like, it's just been really cool to see this process come. And I think about this scripture. It's in Proverbs 29:18, and it says this. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, the people perish. And so I realized pretty early on, like, in order for anything to happen, I had to have a clear vision. I had to know where I was trying to get to. And, you know, like, I think so many times in our life, we can kind of lose sight of that and feel like maybe God don't have a vision for us particularly. But what I've learned is this, like, it's just the willingness to step up whenever God's calling someone to step up. Do I believe with my whole entire heart that God would have raised someone else up, you know, to tackle the drug problem in this region? Absolutely. But I'm really, really honored that when he said, hey, I'm calling someone, that I was like, here I am, God, send me. And so, like, I think about that, you know, like, as we're in this such dark times in our country, like Pastor Rob just said, as we know things are, you know, not the way they should be in our world, are we really stepping up to the mandate that God has on our life? Are we truly saying to ourselves, I feel like I'm walking in the purpose God created me to walk in? Because what you do, you know, like, as your profession is a good thing, but is that, that's not always your purpose. So in your calling may be in your professional place, but do you feel that you are stepping up to the fullest potential of what God's placed inside of you? Because we all have an assignment. And this is what I know, that for the body to move forward and for the body to advance, God needs the whole body in unification. And that means every one of us doing our assignment, doing our part, doing what he's called us to do. Because I think, like, a lot of times, you know, we can just doubt the process, doubt that God's going to do something in our life. When a lot of times he's calling us and we're sitting there and we're waiting for something to happen, but he's waiting for us to get up and meet him halfway. So it's in our, you know, like, it's in our, you know, not being afraid to move forward that God can actually begin to do something in our life. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, I don't want to look back in 10 years from now and say, I wish I would have. I want to say at least, like, you know, even if it's, if there's some bumps along the way, even if I, you know, might miss it every now and then, I want to look back and say, I feel like I did everything God called me to do. I feel like I gave everything I had to the calling he had on my life. I don't want to look back and say, why did I allow fear to keep me stuck? Or was I complacent? Or was I just not confident that he was actually calling me? I don't want to look back. I would rather look back and say, well, I missed it a couple times, but I know that I gave it everything. I know that I tried to move every time that God said move. And I believe that, you know, during this time in our nation, I almost feel like the urgency when Pastor Rob was talking, like, it's the 11th hour. It's time for the body to raise up. It's time for us to step into our purpose and our calling. It's time for us to stop doubting and begin to have faith that God is pushing us forward. It is time for us now to be louder than ever. And so we just surpassed 4 years in January of High on Hope Ministries, and it's been really awesome what's happened. There's our phone number. We have an 800 number for anybody that needs help with addiction. The good news is we have a ton of resources. It's very rare that we are not able to find placement for somebody, even if it's not with us, if someone calls us. We get tons of calls throughout the month, and we, you know, like, what's really awesome is that I travel to different areas and different regions, and I'm not just saying this, but what's happening in the Mid-Ohio Valley, this is still the Mid-Ohio Valley, right? Yeah, I thought so. Where does it end at? Do we know? Nobody knows? I've always wondered, like, where's the stopping point of the Mid-Ohio Valley? Because I'm from Beckley, West Virginia. We don't have a nickname like that except for the name of the city. So I was like, where does it end? Mex County. Okay, and I was like, okay, so what's happening here is pretty special. What I mean by that is we really see, you know, like, like the we had an open house, and Pastor Rob was there. And like I said, you guys have always been so great to support us. But there was also pastors that were from all different denominations. There were Baptist pastors. There were, you know, Pentecostal pastors. There were non-denominational pastors. And what's, you know, like there's really unification and a like-mindedness in the Mid-Ohio Valley like I don't see in a lot of places. We do these events called Equip the City. And the idea of these events was this. This is actually one of them. That was in Tyler County, West Virginia. We did seven in seven different counties in West Virginia. We had six more scheduled before COVID hit, and just, you know, as we all know, we weren't able to do much of anything during that time. And so the idea was this. If we go into a city, we did our first one in Parkersburg at the Warehouse Church, and that was it. Look at the turnout of people that wanted to learn how to help other people fight addiction. Now, that was our sheriff was in the crowd somewhere. There were pastors from all different churches. There were people from that worked in the school system. There were mothers who had kids that were addicted. There were all different types of people, people that worked in, like, that were in government. And they all came to one spot to say, like, how can we help the city? And so it was a really cool thing to see. And we gave them practical tools because I truly believe this. And I've always said this. If y'all have ever been here before when I've spoke, I'm sure you've heard me say that. I believe that it is the church's responsibility to be the forefront of fighting this addiction problem. Everybody plays a part. Government plays a part. Absolutely. The city plays a part. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, the body of Christ holds what I believe to be and I know to be the solution to the problem. Because I know this. When I was going through heroin withdrawals and my whole body was hurting, my stomach was cramping, this is all I knew to do. Jesus, help me. I need you. And I found freedom. I didn't find sobriety. I found freedom. Because there's a huge difference between being sober and being free. I don't want to just be sober. I want to be free. Because I know when I walk in freedom, I'm free from everything else also. I'm free from the, you know, the things that try to pull me backwards, the iniquities in my heart, and I am desiring for freedom. And what we teach people is to get freedom. I don't teach sobriety. Because I know that when someone, and we see it so often with our guys in our program, I know that when we see someone find the true Jesus, there's no going back. Like, you're changed forever, man. Like, I wasn't even a believer 7 years ago. I didn't know one thing about God 7 years ago. I'd lost my sister to a drug overdose, and I just felt like there wasn't a God. I truly would question, like, God, if you're real, why'd this happen? And I just didn't understand, you know, that we live in a cursed world. But I know that the moment I experienced God's presence, it changed everything in me. The moment that I felt his presence for the first time, what began to make sense was this. We have a lot of people out here in the world that are chasing something. They don't even know what they're looking for. But I know what they're looking for. They're looking for the presence of God. And when they find that, you begin to realize that the thing I was searching for to fulfill my emptiness inside, and that's not just for drugs, that's life in general. The thing I was searching for to fulfill me, it was always available. I just didn't know it was available. And so we have a bunch of people just searching. And you're not wrong to search. You just gotta search in the right place. Also, something else I think that's terrible is this. We teach people so often that if they have an addiction problem, they have this terrible dysfunction. Yeah, this is what I know. Like, it's the greatest gift ever. I just didn't know how to use it. Because when I took that same sold-out nature and I used the passion that I had for darkness and I shifted it over to the kingdom, there was nothing I couldn't accomplish with Christ because I went hard. The reason I was a drug addict is because when God made me, he was like, man, if he gets it, he's going to run hard. But it also can go bad the other way. But when you find out, and this is what we teach our people, because I want people to not feel like they're powerless, but they need to know that they're empowered. And the Holy Spirit empowers them because what lives inside of them is stronger than any substance that would come against them, than any thought that would try to drag them backwards. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of them is the key to them sustaining freedom. And when we teach people empowerment instead of powerlessness, what happens is we begin to see people move forward instead of other things becoming idols and gods. Because you know what can happen very easily is, believe it or not, recovery can become an idol and be lifted above the one who gave you the freedom. And so, and that's with anything. So I knew that, like, we have to teach people truth. Because the devil don't care if someone's addicted to drugs or if they're not addicted to drugs as long as they're lost. He could care less. He'll let people get sober but still go to hell. And so our goal is not that. Our goal is to take as many people to heaven with us as possible. And so as we go through some of these other pictures, that's just our family. That's all the people from all of our treatment centers at a Christmas party. Obviously, it wouldn't have been last year because of COVID, but it was the year before. That's our High on Hope event we have at Parkersburg City Park. Such a cool thing. The whole park, I know, gets Jesus on that day. And it's really awesome. You see my beautiful wife there. You know, let me tell y'all something cool. So on October the 15th, this year coming up, we're having another baby. Isn't that awesome? Really awesome. God really blessed me. He totally did. You know what's so weird is, like, you just don't realize how much you're lacking until you get married. Like, you realize, like, wow, how did I survive in life up to this point? I don't even know. But she's amazing, and, you know, like, she's phenomenal, and she's a hard worker, and, it's just awesome. So as we were doing these Equip the City events, we thought what would be cool was this. We started going into the schools the day of, and so it was called Equip the School. And so we brought a friend with us. His name's Cam Band. He's a Christian rapper from Akron, and he's awesome. But what we would do is we would connect with the kids, tell our story, and then at night we would have the Equip the City event. Because this is, you know, what I feel like happens a lot of times is we as a body of people maybe just don't have the knowledge of how to help people. You know, like, now obviously you can always just call us, but what I mean is in the moment when you're faced with that person that may be addicted that's in your family or that may walk through these doors of the church, you know, like, how do we handle those moments? So that's kind of what Equip the City is, and we are actually getting ready to start those back up very soon. And then what we do is we bring a panel of people in. We'll bring, like, the sheriff of that county. We'll bring someone from the legal system. We'll bring someone that works in treatment. We'll bring a pastor, and we'll bring someone in recovery. And what we do, we work a lot in West Virginia with the Attorney General's office, and we'll bring someone from the Attorney General's office. And what we'll do is we actually will have a Q&A with the audience so they can ask any questions they may have to this panel of people to be able to become better educated on how they can help the community. So that's one thing that I feel like is very effective in the practical sense. Very practical, but very effective. And so as we keep going, this is really cool too. So in February of 2019, we actually had the opportunity to take High on Hope to the Philippines. And so now we have a branch of High on Hope Ministries. And, you know, so technically you guys are helping support a branch of High on Hope Ministries in the Philippines. So what's really crazy there is I never would have thought that there would be such a bad drug problem in, you know, this country. But it turns out, everybody say shabu. Y'all could do better than that. Shabu. That's methamphetamine in Tagalog. And that's what their problem is. And so what's crazy is in the Philippines, they treat the drug problem way different than we do here. What they do in the Philippines is this. They will arrest the person and give them the opportunity to become what they call a surrenderee. A surrenderee goes into jail. We went into the jails to minister, and we met people that had been in jail for 4 years, not for selling drugs, but for being accused of being addicted to drugs. And so what the country would do at one point was if you refused to become what they call a surrenderee, and especially if they knew that you sold drugs, they execute you. There's been over 12,000 people that's been killed because they refused to become what they call a surrenderee. So the government, when we went in, was working on a faith-based initiative to be able to help the addiction problem there. And so we went in and we were able to present to schools. We were able to present to colleges and go into jails and different churches. We worked a lot with the police department there to kind of help equip them. And so what's really cool is, we're now seeing fruit from it. We're now seeing the people that are a part of High on Hope Philippines minister to like all of these surrenderees, and they're teaching them freedom through Christ instead of just throwing them in jail. So we planned on going back this past year, and what happened, obviously, we all know, the whole world shut down. So we weren't able to go back, so we do plan on going back very soon, but it was such a cool experience, and it was such a humbling experience, because what you realize is the problems that we make this big, man, they have real challenges facing them. Not saying we don't face challenges, I'm just saying that sometimes we make a mountain out of a molehill when there's people in the world that's truly hurting, truly in need, truly needing, like the things that we take for granted. And so that's really awesome. So again, thank you guys for supporting us, because you're helping support that also. And so one thing we are beginning to work on a lot with the Attorney General is he was at our building a couple weeks ago, and we were beginning to talk, this was in West Virginia, the West Virginia Attorney General, on how to improve the Medicaid laws in West Virginia. In Ohio, we have much better Medicaid laws. We can have people for up to 4 months in treatment. In West Virginia, it's about 28 days. So you wonder why the number one state for overdose has the least amount of time of treatment through the state, and then we wonder why we're not seeing results. It's because we're doing this. And so we are praying, and we would love for you all to agree with us that that stuff gets changed and we can move forward to be able to truly help people. That is just one of the Equip the City things. We can go past that one. Now, this is really cool right here. I want to explain this for a moment. So last year, right around this time, almost to the day, it was actually, I think, May 23rd, I saw this picture when everyone was protesting. Y'all remember seeing those pictures on the internet when everyone was protesting, and rightfully so. There was injustice, and it's not okay. But I thought to myself this. I was like, what if, we weren't meeting, like most churches, I don't know if you guys were meeting, but most churches weren't meeting, and everybody was isolated. And for people in recovery especially, that's so bad. There were so many people that went backwards because of this. And so what happened was I saw all these people protesting outside, and I was like, so it looks like you can be outside, and it's okay. So we went outside, and it was okay at Parkersburg City Park. Because I thought this. Everything was kind of shut down. I felt like God was giving me a vision that, like, that urgency I was talking about earlier, like, man, it's time, we have to do something. And so we started going to Parkersburg City Park and meeting August 16th of last year. And what's crazy is what it's turned into. It's so awesome. There's so many people that should be dead, that should not even be alive. We meet every Sunday night, like even including tonight. So if you guys are free, come and join us, as long as it's not hindering anything you have going on here, of course. And we would love to see you, because it's so awesome. You're going to see a bunch of people who should be dead, like so passionately on fire for God. We can go to the next slide. This is really cool. This was some of our girls from our facility, and this was them. They were like the welcome people with the signs and stuff. And then we kept doing this all year, and it got cold, obviously. And so in November, we moved into a building for, we have never had like an actual building as of our ministry. And we moved into a building, and it was in November. And this is really awesome, but it's really small in there. It's not really enough room. So we're praying that God, brings us a larger building. This is one of our guys that's in Malta in our men's facility. And we brought him up from Georgia. But I'm just thinking, like, that dude was almost dead like a month ago. And this was just, I think, last Sunday, because it was cold out. We went inside the building. And we're seeing so many people through this effort, because, the High on Hope, is amazing, and we can teach people things, and it's a good tool to educate, outreach, pull people in. But we have worship. We have an amazing worship team. And by the way, you guys are phenomenal. Y'all have an amazing worship team here. And so with the reach, what is so awesome is this. There's a movement happening. There's a movement happening from a bunch of unlikely people who should be dead, but God is raising up. And it's so amazing because I look out every Sunday night and I see all the faces like I'm seeing right now. And I know most of them personally, and I know they shouldn't even be alive. And to see them, we do baptisms in the park. We baptized 12 people 2 weeks ago at the park. And it's so cool to see not only newness of life, but people like publicly declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is their Savior. And they are standing firm on the truth that He set them free. And that's the kind of movement we need. You know, like it's the days of, you know, hiding in basements is just over. We need to be loud about our freedom. We need to let the world know that there is an answer to this problem. We need to let people know that Jesus Christ is setting people free, that no matter what you see on the news, there's miracles happening every single day. It's so crucial. Like, I think about that. So I go back to then, and I'm like, you know, so here's our problem we face, honestly, is that we have this building, and it's been a great building. Pastor Rob saw the building. It's kind of small. And we have been praying for God to, you know, bring either, like, more vision to be able to help us. Because when a lot of the people we minister to, it's not like we have partners like you guys, because the people we minister to, they're not going to be able to really support the move, you know, like the movement. They're literally sometimes still in treatment or just out of it. And so we've been praying, and one of the things we felt like God told us to do was this. So 10 days ago, Eddie James, he has a new Dream Life director now. They replaced me when I left. And they opened this store up in Tennessee, and he was like, man, it's been so great to help us financially with our ministry. Let me tell you the power of prayer and faith. 10 days ago, we had this vision. It was just an idea, literally 10 days ago. And we were like, well, maybe we should do that. And we prayed, and we felt like, yeah, this is something we should do. We should open a store to help the ministry be able to be funded, so that when it's cold again, we can go into a place that's big enough to actually hold the amount of people that want to come. And so within 10 days, we found a location on Parkersburg on 7th Street. And I kid you not, this is how much I know that God needs us to be moving forward. Last Sunday night, to get this building, obviously it costs, you know, and we have a building already, but we needed this other building to open the store. And last Sunday, I didn't think that we were going to be able to do it because it just didn't look good. You know, we needed like $2,000. And we told the people that were at the Reach that night, and we had one person give $500. And the next day, this pastor calls me from Calvary Memorial, Pastor Lonnie Coates. And he said to me this. He's like, I feel like God's been telling me I need to give you this. And I had just ran into him on Saturday at the mall, and I didn't tell him anything about, like, you know, the need or anything. And I met him at our building Monday at 5 o'clock last Monday, and he gave me a $1,500 check. And I was like, come on, Jesus. Like, so that's how I know, like, because I'm going to be honest. My wife, in this case, I was like, I just don't think it's going to happen. She's like, you just got to have faith. And I was like, okay, you're right. I'm learning that works well. Yeah? You're right. I got to practice that more often. You're right, sweetheart. And so we went yesterday to get all this stuff for the store, and we have everything we need. So literally, we started this page. It's called Reach Outlet. Reach Outlet. So if you guys want to go check that out on Facebook, we plan on opening it on the 29th. We plan on accepting donations all week up until the 29th, starting, you know, like Monday, tomorrow, up until the 29th. The location is on 7th Street in Parkersburg. They're building a brand new Taco Bell, and it's right beside of it. And that's pretty cool, too, because I'm not good for my weight, but it's good for the, like, traffic that will be coming through. And so God is so faithful. But what I learned in that was this. Like, the power of Him giving you a vision and having faith to say, I believe it's going to work, and praying through that process and Him coming through, it just made me realize, like, sometimes we doubt, because I did, I'm not going to lie to you, sometimes we doubt what God's trying to do in our life because we think to ourselves, sometimes, I don't see a way of this coming through. But see, this is the thing I know, that even when I don't see a way, He has a way. Even when it don't look good on my end, He has a plan. And so I have to know that, like, if He gave me the vision, He's going to bring the provision. And so I know that I can't give up when it don't look good around me, because literally we were signing the lease on Wednesday. That happened on Monday. So God has a plan to further that movement that's happening in Parkersburg. I truly believe this, that it won't just be a Parkersburg type of movement. I think that God is going to spread that movement throughout this region. We've had prophetic words that said, like, I see it crossing county lines and going into other places. So I believe that what's happening there, it feels very revival-like. It's going to keep spreading throughout this region, and we're going to have this outreach effort that's going to be phenomenal. There you go. Awesome. Wow, that's impressive. And we're going to have this amazing move of God in our region, because God's given us vision to be able to take the vision forward. And you know, so that's where I come, like, I think about our beginning, and I think about where God has brought things since then. And it's just mind-blowing to me to think that 7 years ago, I was a homeless drug addict who had no future. I felt like there was no hope in this world. But God had a plan. Thank you, Lord. And I'm so thankful that He has made my life everything I couldn't. And He has brought the greatest blessings I've ever experienced. To have a family, to have a wife, to have a purpose, to have a vision that I don't deserve. And so, as I'm standing here, I think for you, don't waste the grace that God's given you in your life. Don't look back one day and say, I wish we would have done this. I wish I would have tried this. I believe, are only seeing the tip of the iceberg of what God has ahead. And I just know that with all the division in our country, He has a plan. I know that with the addiction problem, He has a plan. I know that with whatever challenge that we face regionally, God has a plan. Economically, He has a plan. And when I saw this happen over this past week, it just grew a faith within me to know that He's calling people during this time. He's calling people to stand up. He's calling people to step into their purpose. He's calling people to move past the fear that Pastor Rob was talking about. He don't give you the spirit of fear. He's calling people to raise up. It's the 11th hour. It's time for the church to be louder than ever. It's time for us to let our voices be heard. And, you know, like, have a vision. Have a vision for your life. Like, visualize what God's going to do. Initiate it. You can't sit back and just wait. Initiate what He's trying to do in your life. Strategize. Be intentional with your time and your efforts and what you're doing. Yes. Learn to overcome some obstacles. And nurture the dream and the vision that He's placed inside of you. Because I think it's time for the harvest to be seen. I believe it's harvest time. Harvest time. So, like, all the preparation leading up to the harvest, now it's time to go. It's time for us to go as a region. It's time for the body of Christ to go forward. And man, I just can't wait. This is what Isaiah 6:8, it said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Here am I. Send me. Are you saying send me today? If I leave you with a thought, that's the thought that I want to leave you with. Are you truly answering the call to go where he's telling you to go? Are you truly answering the call to fulfill whatever purpose that he's put inside of you? And then this is what I know to be true. In Luke 16:10, it says, he who is faithful over what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least also is unjust in much. He who is faithful in the little things that God's given you, he will take you forward. So I want to, just during this time, as I get ready to hand it over to Pastor Rob, as he does the call for prayer, I would love to be able to pray for you if that is you. If you feel like you have a vision that you haven't stepped into. If you have people that are in your life that are stuck in addiction, we'd love to pray for that. We saw awesome things happen in moments like this where people have prayed for their family members and get reports back later that their family member finally sought out help and found freedom. So no matter where they're at, you can stand in that gap for them. And so this is, you know, as God begins to speak to our region even louder, this is the moment that I want us to answer the call. It's more imperative, I feel like, than ever in this nation that the body rises up and moves forward. Everything's tried to stop the body over this past year. There was the shutdown, there was division, there was all these, you know, stipulations. Everything tried to silence the body of Christ. It was time to rise up and be loud. So thank you guys so much.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and his kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.